Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
We are live, episode number 77
of the Better on
Draft podcast.
Paul Coffey or Ray Bork?
Coffey.
Paul
never,
Coffey, for
never
sure.
Ray Bork.
The Paul Coffey episode of the Better on Draft podcast. My name is Ken. We have
Gosser Sherlis or Cornelius Lucas?
I take
Cornelius Lucas. Because you know every single time Cornelius Lucas comes onto the field for an offensive play, you know it's never going to him, and all he does is just block.
Do you know how he trains in the offseason? He actually takes tickets at a movie theater.
Does he really?
Yeah, he just lets everybody right past him.
I see what you did there. Turnstile.
Damn.
Yeah. The Detroit Lions official turnstile. That's see what you
going.
Did there.
That's why we're going to Paul Coffey. Come on now.
I'm so, one too.
Oh, Jesus. So we are live. It is fun. We have a full house today, even though we are missing Dan and Nick. Well, let's start off with Rob. What's going on?
Oh, just another day in the hood, chilling, illin'.
Chilling out, maxing, relaxing, all cool.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like someone who would shoot people outside of
his
school.
Oh, hell no, dude. I had
swimming some laps inside of the school?
There you go. I'm a swimmer. I don't play basketball. I had double vision until I was 34. You kidding?
Ooh, my eyes.
Don't start with the foreigner shit.
What are you drinking over there?
I am double fisting right now. I have opened up some Stillwater on Fleek. It is still on Fleek.
Has not, see what you did there.
Yeah, has not fallen off Fleek. And with some, I believe it is called Country Strong.
Jeremy Bonderman?
Jeremy Bonderman, yes. Oh, my God. That is a callback.
From our guest, which I will leave to.
We'll hold off.
We'll hold off.
Matt Bush, what's going on?
Hey, Ken, haven't seen you in a while.
Glad we could, glad you could join us.
Yeah, schedules. Yeah. You've just been conflicting this whole time.
Yeah. I didn't know you were still part of the show.
You know, I was pulling a Nick, to be honest. But I just had to come back.
And Nick's not here.
There we go. I guess we're the same person. We're like,
can't
Rush
be in the
Limbaugh
same place at the same
Moore.
Time.
One's the fat in the fat suit of the other.
Oh, geez.
What are you drinking over there?
Well, there's a lot of really fancy shit in front of me, but I've got a Hams.
Hams?
Only a quarter.
Yeah, I mean, it's like $12 for a 30 pack, so I just found it here locally.
Ain't
so
no
I guess it's kind of
locally
local
in
beer.
The refrigerator.
Yeah. So I suppose it's Michigan beer, right?
I guess. Technically.
I mean, we went from PBR to Hams, so. I don't know if that's an upgrade, a downgrade, or a crossgrade.
When Dan is here,
King Cobra reigns supreme.
It's King Cobra week in, week out. So, I mean.
The KC, until he gets his next beer.
Right.
I have a feeling the trend's going to change, and he'll get like another beer and start drinking it again.
I'm predicting Steel Reserve.
I don't think he's not a big Steel Reserve fan. I'm thinking he's going to go back to Newcastle. I think I can pull that off. All I need to do is bring like a mini keg in Newcastle and be like, I'm going to drink this again and again and again.
Yeah. No, he can do that.
So do you think he'll drink a mini keg in Newcastle every show?
That's pushing.
Can he? Yes. Will he? I don't know.
I think we should have like a countdown. It's been this many weeks since Dan didn't finish a tiny keg of Newcastle on the show.
I feel like just like getting a mini keg would just be, you know, making up for the shows that he has missed and just, you know, just... You have to drink that whole damn
thing. I think it's not a mini keg, a hop slam, because that was a really bad show. I mean, it was a great show.
He'll crawl home. It's fine.
Yeah.
He lives locally. Yeah.
We were talking about hockey. You want to talk about hockey today?
I actually heard a lot of those shows while I was gone, just kind of listening to. I went all the way back to the first episode and sort of listened to you guys.
That was quite an interesting
That was
episode.
A rough show. That was a rough show. I was keeping up with you. I think I was half in the bag when I started it.
Well, episode 2 definitely is still one of the worst, along with the Roke show and the hop slam show.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, the Roke show will never never leave my mind.
Trading Larkin looked like a good idea at this point, didn't it?
I know. I know. The man talked about it a year ago, and here we are now. Trading Larkin.
Trading Larkin.
Angela, what's going on?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
What are you drinking?
Mystery Brown. I don't know
what it is. Mystery Brown. That's what I'm drinking, too. I also have a brown ale from City Lights Brewing Co. in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Is the way the people who were born there pronounce it officially?
Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
Is that because they've had too much Miller Lite?
I just know it from Wayne's World. that's all.
Because I mean, I'm even looking at the spelling of the word Milwaukee, and there's no letter between the L and the. It's a W.
That's a W. Yes.
So I don't know where the extra.
It's the letter that comes before X.
Yeah, X can give it to you.
Ooh. Damn.
So we do have two guests in the studio today. Why don't we start off? Why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Chad Pierce.
Chad, and where do you work?
I work at the laundry in Fenton, Michigan.
The laundry in Fenton, Michigan.
Yes, sir. I lead barman there, so I manage the bar, do daily operations, ordering, sell Lynchpin beer.
And what's Lynchpin?
Lynchpin is the laundry's house brewing company, brew pub, technically. And, we one barrel system, and with me is our head brewer, Scott Hayes.
Scott, what's going on?
Not much. Hello. I'm the brewer. So Lynchpin is basically the laundry's, like he said, in-house brand beer company.
Kind of like what an old early 1900s, late 1800s bar would have, is they'd have their own brewery system where they'd have a beer of their own, along with whatever beer that they brought in from other parts of the state or country.
Yeah, and that's kind of how the idea started. So the laundry, I've been at the laundry since I was about 19. Started out as a line cook. And they've always, we went strictly all Michigan beers back in like 2005 or 2006, which at the time was quite a leap. Shorts was, and Founders and all them were just getting going, but finding Michigan, especially in that area, wasn't super common. And so as being, turning 21, being there surrounded by so much good beer, I was pretty much right legal and out the gates, running with the craft beer thing. And after a few years, eventually I started homebrewing and stuff. And long story short, that was my approach to them was, why can't we brew here, just small batch, and to supplement our other taps. And at this point, we're growing to where Lynchpin is 6 out of our 9 taps right now. And
so what is the beer that we're drinking right now?
This is actually called Paint the Town Brown. It's in a recycled growler from a different brewery. it's in this one.
Hence me getting the name wrong.
That's all right.
My apologies.
Paint the Town Brown?
Paint the Town Brown, 7%. It's kind of hoppy brown ale.
Oh, American-style brown ale.
American-style, yeah. Pretty much everything, unless it's a Belgian-style. I brought a Hefeweizen, but I'm a fan of, the 6 to 7% range. So, our red is 6%, the pale, everything's pretty much American style unless otherwise noted.
So you have 6 of the 9. What are the other 3 taps then?
We keep a cider on tap at all times. Cider's really becoming huge right now. We carry a few ciders and cans as well, but we always try to keep one cider on. We also try to, build relationships with some breweries in Michigan. We have a great relationship with Shorts right now. We always try to keep a Shorts beer on draft. We have Star Cut Cider on draft right now, off branch of Shorts. Right. We kind of do a rotating guest tap. So we within the last 6 months, we've dropped the All Michigan on draft, and we've added a guest tap. And that can be a beer from anywhere in the United States or around the world. So right now we have on Lion Stout as our guest tap. Great beer.
English, right?
Yeah.
Sri Lankan.
Yeah,
Sri Lankan. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My bad.
Is that? I don't know if that's how you say that.
Yeah,
Sri Lankan. It's from Sri Lanka.
From Sri Lanka. Got it.
Has there been a beer that is being requested to come back? Like, since you went to not just Michigan beers, is there a certain beer that's done the best?
I mean, really, I'd say that in the past, it's been like when you kind of introduce craft beer to people that aren't necessarily in the craft scene, or we don't carry any domestic products, so we don't have Bud Light, Budweiser. So I mean, a lot of times it's going to be the pale ale, the Kolsch, anything light on draft that you can really push out to your customers, an easy drinking beer.
No hams.
We've not done any hams. We had what did we have in cans for a while?
It's like black a 30 barrel.
We have black label in cans. So
I think the keg deposit on a barrel of hams is more than the actual.
Absolutely.
Do you get any push for that in terms of, you know, we've had a lot of guests that are on here that, you know, like, you know, the local in Centerville where they had that contingency where there were the people who wanted their Bud Light, and, you know, they just kept pushing for it, and kind of the local just said, well, no, but you can try this. And were there those people that said, hey, no, I'm coming in here, I want a Bud, or I want a Bud Light, and what, where does that go in that direction to say, hey, let's have you, or do you just have them say, hey, let's try this, see what you think about that?
I mean, yeah, we're never going to break down and actually give them the Bud Light, the Budweiser. We're going to offer them a great Pilsner. Right now I have a Kolsch from Boulevard out of Kansas City. That's great. I mean, if you can't enjoy that for a light yellow beer, I mean.
What can you enjoy?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Do you guys get your beer out to any other bars or restaurants, so not even the Rough Draft right down the road?
No, nope, we're a brew pub. Sorry, I spilled a little bit here.
That's okay. Okay. Wasn't on the hardware, so that's.
No, it wasn't on the hardware. We're a brew pub, so we, you know, we brew. So the laundry is a building, and we own the building next door that we do. The brewery is there. It's in a small garage. We also have a banquet room over there and, like, offices. So we were able to get a liquor license to kind of suspend or extend our, you know, the area that we can serve and produce alcohol. So we do that next door, but we are technically still a brew pub. And I think to go, you know, to the distribution route we've talked about, but I think that would change the licensing. I don't think our owners could still be the owners anymore. I know there's other breweries in the area that, you know, I think the owners' wives had to technically be owners.
Fenton Winery and Brewery, I assume. And
actually, that's not what I was thinking. I was thinking of the Big Rock to Griffin Claw move. And I could be totally wrong about that, but that was my understanding, is that the fellows that own Big Rock wanted to open Griffin Claw, but because they have a liquor license, and certainly legalities prevent them from owning a brewery that can distribute. So
I think part of that, they also wanted to distill, which I believe they're doing now. Do you guys distill at all?
We don't. You know, right now I don't think space would allow it, but there's interest. I've dabbled in it a little bit. I worked for Michigan Brewing Company in Weberville, and they had distill there that was owned by MSU. So I was able to kind of latch on and learn some of the stuff from them. And
so let's hold on.
You want to backtrack? You didn't know that?
Let's talk a little bit, because there's a lot of stories that involve MBC.
Yeah, so
what did you do at MBC? Let's start off that.
I was hired as a brewer, and that's what I did. I did not do any cleaning. I didn't do any really yeast pitching. They kept us pretty
well, because MBC had obviously their beers. They had the Cellus contract to do the Cellus beer. Were you there till the bitter end, or?
I actually was. I was pretty much part time at that point. I was calling Jeff, I think, the brewery manager's name.
Okay.
I was calling him basically on Monday and saying, what days do you need me? And, you know, at one point I called him and he basically said, no. Don't come in. They locked us out, and it's done. So I heard some of the rumors and all that, but my understanding is they, you know, he sold the building, and then the new owners, I think he wanted to lease the building from the new owner, and then they changed their mind.
So obviously the former Bobby is brewing now. He's over at Michigan Brewing Works. So
yeah, that's what I hear. I bumped into him at a beer fest a few years ago, and he said he had something in the works, but I
stopped there. It looks like the Blair Witch Project.
that one.
It's a barn.
Oh, okay.
It's a barn with a giant farm. It's like almost like the start of like a Left 4 Dead 2 map or something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
But like, he's making beer, though, and you can get it there.
He's making beer and distilling over there, too.
Yep. He was doing that at the place at the time, so.
So you went from MBC to straight to Lynchpin, or straight to the laundry, I should say?
Back to the laundry, and I went back there as a line cook. So I had left the laundry. I was managing the laundry at the time. I wanted to get into brewing. So I got into home brewing basically with the intent of doing it professionally eventually. But I was moving up the ranks in the laundry. I left that to take the Michigan Brewing Company job, and that paid dismally. So I found myself, you know, pretty broke after a little while of doing that, and kind of had to backtrack. And after a little while there, you know, So I looked at, I don't know if you guys are familiar, I think it was called the Travelers Club in Okemos.
Not too
familiar.
They're
a tuba museum and a restaurant.
A tuba museum?
Yeah, never actually been there, but that's what I had read. Very small spot.
In Okemos, home of the tuba museum.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's real. I mean, I.
All right, break it.
Or, you know, Google lied to me. I don't know. But anyway, so they, I found out that they were like a brew pub in the sense, I think they were doing like a home brew 5-gallon batch on their porch and going in and selling it. And that was kind of the idea with the laundry to start. And so I kept pitching it to them and they didn't really take me seriously. And eventually I was like, I got to make a movie that we're going to do this or I have to move on to something else in my life. And
obviously you have to make them a beer so that they can taste it and be like,
well, they had. Yeah, I'd been homebrewing, you know, they had tasted it and they were interested, but. And then eventually they, you know, they went for it and that's kind of how it started. And then it grew. Well, why would we do 5 gallons at a time? Why wouldn't we do a half barrel? Well, if we're doing a half barrel, why wouldn't we do a barrel? And
so is Linchpin separate from the laundry in the sense to where there is a Linchpin brew pub or is it just all sold within the laundry?
It's all sold in the laundry.
Okay.
It's technically the same liquor license. It's just a different branding thing. If for in the case that we ever wanted to separate, we could do that fairly seamlessly. I've got my own budget. You know, the books are different than the laundry's books. So legally, we are the same entity, but as far as within the organization, it's treated very separately.
Now, are the recipes that you've created yours?
Yeah.
So everything that's at the laundry that you – or at Linchpin, rather, is stuff that you created, you know, you brewed at home and then you brought it towards?
Yeah, pretty much everything Linchpin related is me. I built a brewery. They're my beers. Everything is pretty much.
So speaking of which, what are we drinking right now out of the crowler?
You may have had the brown. This is, I think we're calling it Sunset Rider. It's a pale wheat, Amarillo and Chinook hops, 6%, just like a wheat pale ale.
Do you have anything that's more sessionable in your repertoire, or is everything more?
Because
I know you said you liked everything 6 to 7, so it's not anything big, but still 6 to 7s are.
Yeah, we have a blonde that we serve in crowler in house, so it does not take up a tap. We fill up a few every couple days and have them in house, and that's kind of like we were talking about. Do people want Bud Light or whatever?
Right.
That's kind of the go-to for that if they don't want the Kolsch or they want to try a Linchpin product. Mm-hmm. And I did bring that. That's like 5.2. I did an ESB that was, you know, 4.5. Did an Irish dry stout that was 4.8, I think. So we do them and definitely have the blonde. You know, if the style calls for it, then we do it. But, you know, I tend to go, like I said, in the 6 or 7%.
Have you guys been thinking of doing anything, like, special or big, like anything barrel-aged, like grabbing a barrel just to...
Yeah, I did a barrel-aged Russian Imperial. So the bar staff and some of the owners, you know, a group of them went down to Buffalo Trace.
Yeah,
Redid it this year, so I'll let him tell you about it.
Just a couple weeks ago, we went down to Buffalo Trace Distillery. We took a tour of it. We do a private select with a Buffalo Trace barrel, and we started this tradition last year. They went down as a group. They line up 3 or 4 single barrels. They let us pick them, taste them. The group kind of votes on it. And then, so that's our barrel. They will actually bottle that for us, send it up, so we're the only restaurant selling that given private select barrel of Buffalo Trace. And then they'll later, in turn, send us up that empty barrel, and we give it to Scott to put a beer in. This last time, we actually were lucky enough to be able to do Buffalo Trace and Eagle Rare. So we'll have 2 barrels coming. And I'm totally pressuring Scott to put his Russian Imperial Stout in one of them, which I hope you brought with you today.
I did.
Excellent.
It's not very sessionable.
Definitely not sessionable.
Every beer is a sessionable beer.
As long as you try hard enough.
Exactly. But. As long as you try hard enough, 7%, well, 10%, I don't care.
I can allocate 2 tickets to that one, right?
2 tickets, two, yes. Two, that's two, a 2-ticket two beer.
2-token beer?
2-token beer. All right, fair enough.
Oh, we're on the token system here? I didn't bring any.
So you guys don't go to any festivals or anything like that? Or are you simply just in-house and only in-house and not even like the Fenton apple pie contest? Or?
Actually, you know, we haven't been to any like the Brewers Guild ones. FWB does a, what do they call it? The Brewers Appreciation Society, I think, that... You know, I've gone to that twice. Taste of Fenton, we have a beer sponsorship, so we show up and pour for that. I think this year and probably going forward, we'll look into that more so, but it's really just been a matter of getting everything dialed in recipe-wise and making sure we have the inventory.
So how long has Linchpin been a thing?
August of 2015, I think, was the...
So you're going on a year and a half. About as old as us.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. Was it 15 or 14, actually? I think we're about two years in. 2.5 years.
Okay. So, must have been so you're a year older than us. That's yeah. Okay.
Now, well, you know.
Are there any beers that you just haven't been able to get on tap yet? Or any beer styles that you're still trying to master to like, kind of put your own spin on it?
Well, as a home brewer, I did a lot of, you know, kind of the crazy stuff. I did, you know, I did, like, a chef at the laundry, you know, we did, like, a mole beer. And, you know, I don't want to throw, like, breweries out, but, you know, like, the shorts kind of style of doing, like, the, you know, the weird flavors and all that. So I wanted to do that here at first. That was kind of part of the original plan, but... You know, I feel like, you know, there is no such thing as a mastered style for me. You know, I'm always trying to just focus on the, you know, make everything that we do already better. We did like a Christmas ale with some honey and cinnamon and things like that. But I'm kind of a traditionalist at this point. So I just want all the beers to be solid as they are.
Are there any beers that you've brewed at home that you haven't brought to the Linchpin yet or anything that you're trying to work on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, at home I was doing... I did a cream ale with, like, cherries and pistachios. Used to do – I've done the pumpkin beer at Linchpin, but it didn't come out the way that it used to at home. I'm trying to think.
At this point, I wouldn't even bother with a pumpkin beer this year.
I don't think I will, actually. Last year – I didn't do it last year, and the ones that we bought at the laundry did not – I mean, it took forever to get rid of them. I think we still had one going on.
You're talking about, like, an up-and-down spike in regards to a trend.
Definitely.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of how I feel with a lot of that stuff of – I've added, like, the spices and the food flavors, and, I mean, it's awesome when they do it right, but for me, that's not really, that's not what I want to drink all the time.
I mean, there is some that is just delicious, but I think everyone saw, like, the fad, and then everyone just flooded the market, mm-hmm. and there was nothing that you could do about it at that point.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what's going on with barrel-aged beers. I think it's kind of getting to that bubble as well, where everyone started jumping to that, you know, the bourbon barrel-aged, and now they're kind of maybe trying to... diversify with gin barrels and rum barrels, and I think
it's gotten to the point where New Holland is the one that's seen ahead of the curve, and they're realizing that you can't just barrel age beers. You have to do something a little bit more, whether it's a different style or adding a different flavor, like their vanilla chai, their
coconut rum, the triple mash.
You know, these standard heavy, dark, boozy barrel age beers, like almost like your KBS. That's mm-hmm. that's going to go out of style soon yeah. enough. You know, KBS won't, but that style of beer will go out soon enough
like,
I think the
people that are really good at it will continue to be good at it, and they'll continue to be the industry standard, and they'll stick around. But those breweries that are just trying to catch the, you know, the little bit of wind in their sails to keep floating them off and saying, hey, we have one of those in our portfolio, I think those will fall off for the next trend, which could be, you know.
Well, I think that's more the smaller brewers, and they're doing what the entire, like, what everyone's dictating them to do. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Drafting Table would just release two huge bourbon barrel aged beers, and
huge.
Like a lot of people are loving them. But again, that's, you know, that's not your standard No Rules or your KBS or something that's going to stay, you know, or your Dragon's Milk. You know, you're talking about consistent barrel aging beers. That's Dragon's Milk right there. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, do you guys see a trend that's, you know, coming up soon, at least within your bar? Like, a lot of people are asking for a specific style. It's probably more towards the bar manager.
Well, I mean, I think that the weather dictates how people want to drink the beer, you know. In the winter, I totally want the barrel-aged beer. I want a big, heavy stout, you know.
You don't
want
to drink a Bomber or No Rules while you're mowing the lawn?
I haven't tasted it yet, so I don't know.
Oh, we'll,
maybe it's that good that
we'll,
I would
we'll crack
want
it
to.
Open.
I was gonna say, we do have a bottle of the 2017 here. You'll definitely you'll taste the cinnamon, that's for sure.
I hear it's more mapley than
have you? I haven't tasted this year's. I don't think
it's just pretty damn good. That's all I'm gonna say.
Yeah, because when we had Mike on from Perrin, he didn't bring it because it wasn't available yet. So we just had the KBS, which we cut with Milwaukee's Best.
What's the point of having connections at these breweries if they're not gonna bring us?
It just wasn't bottled yet.
Yeah,
it didn't exist.
Send him back to the breweries. Yeah. Get a crowler. Get a cup. Put some Saran wrap around it.
Come back when you're ready.
Right out of the tank.
Yeah.
Can't get any fresher than that.
Right.
I see, not to jump in or anything, but we're talking about trends. Like right now, I look at like Wolverine in Ann Arbor. I think lagers, like you're talking about the big beers. I don't know. I kind of see a backlash. I think lagers and light, sessionable, crisp,
you think Wolverine does enough lagers?
I think they do great lagers.
They do great lagers.
They do everything.
I didn't say
lager.
Good. I just said enough lagers.
I don't. Well, I think they do all lagers.
They're all lagers. Yeah. There. They have no ales there.
Nope.
No. Their Massacre is a bourbon barrel aged lager.
Yeah, like a lager stout, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So lager yeast as opposed to ale yeast.
For as much as I like lagers, I don't think I've ever had much or any of their products. So I think
I
think I've missed the boat on them.
I see them more in bottles at stores than I do on draft in restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's a really weird thing to see.
There's a lot you see in the stores.
Kind of like
you're
Axel.
Right.
Definitely see a lot more cans of Axel than I do see them on draft anywhere.
Yeah, pretty much like the only place you ever see, or at least I ever see Axel on draft is 8 Degrees. In Detroit.
Or Embrew. I've seen them at Embrew a bunch.
Okay.
Which makes sense.
Typically I don't see Wolverine anywhere. I mean, now granted, Massacre is probably one of my favorite lagers, period, and just coming from them. But yeah, it's kind of weird that they don't have.
You don't think about it. You never thought about it until I said something.
No, I'd never thought about that. Damn.
Well, it's tough. You have only so many taps. And, you know, right now the beer trend really still is, you know, give me big IPA, give me big stout. So I think Wolverine's done great just in the last couple, because they've been around for quite a while.
They've been around for a while.
But in the last couple of years, they are starting to push out. And I think, to me, I just see the trend moving back because it's been so extreme with beer for so long that.
I think everyone's noticing that you need the sessionable beers.
Mm-hmm,
you have to have them now.
Yeah.
Because everyone, like, especially brewers in regards to money-wise, you can only sell so many, you know, big bomb beers and not make any money.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you're better off selling, you know, a $4 pint of whatever session IPA, lager, Kolsch, pills. Even like almost like a Hefeweizen, anything like that, you're going to be able to sell it at $4 to $5 a pint. Not too expensive. ABV is low. Long as you pack a good taste or a good crisp, mouthfeel in there, you're going to be good to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, don't you think that there's just too many IPAs? I kind of feel like there's
I do.
Considering you hate IPAs, it's probably not even the right question to even ask you. But it just I don't know. I just feel like there's so many IPAs that are out that. I feel like that trend would drop sooner than barrel age.
Yeah, try walking into a brewery with like 20, 25 taps. Zero browns, zero ambers, zero blondes.
Zero alts.
Well, yeah, I just assume there's no alts.
Yes. Yeah, no kidding.
Your alt choices in the world are Alaskan Amber.
And Sheboygan.
Arbor's got, what's the old Alt 22?
They stopped brewing that.
Did they?
Yeah.
Obviously.
He's bitter.
I don't blame him.
You know who told me that? The Greffs while they were on our show.
Really? Yes.
Saying we're discontinuing it. And I'm like,
clearly never listened to the show. Because that's all he ever does is complain about. I think he started this show just to complain that Alt 22 is being discontinued.
So it's been a year and a half at least.
It's been a while. That was back in the Ferndale studio, too.
Yeah.
Man. Sorry I brought it up.
That's okay.
Yeah.
They were the best. They introduced me to Alt, basically.
Put more salt in there for you.
Did you ever have their Alt 33?
No.
It's a higher ABV, differently brewed Alt that they had. It was brewery only, though. Mm. So you had to go to the downtown brewery to get it. Yeah, not too much. Like, but again, so I went to Three Floyds and just... so many pale ales, India pale ales, New England pale ales. I'm like, this.
Yeah, New England is a big thing right now.
This is just annoying because I don't want any of that shit.
Yes,
I wound up buying the beer that had the Ric Flair quote on it.
Was it
that quote?
$600 lizard shoes was the name of it. And it was like, when you're feeling styling and profiling, limousine ride, and I'm like, oh, I'll take that. And then I realized what I ordered. I'm like, oh, looks like I'm having one and I'm leaving.
What kind of beer was it? Was it a...
It was some type of India pale ale.
You just got trapped by the marketing?
Yeah, pretty much. I got trapped by the marketing.
Did it come with a big furry robe?
No, it did not.
Come on.
But, you know, he spent more money on spilt liquor than you do in your life.
Ric Flair did?
Ric Flair did.
I think he spent a lot more money on a lot of things.
Ex-wives, for sure.
Did we mention gator shoes and fur coats already?
Private jet flying.
But that's the thing, though, is I hate walking into a brewery like that. And, you know, it, what sucks is that I know there's other breweries out there that I've walked into, and I walk in, I'm like, there's nothing that you have that I want. And I have a pretty, minus like a pale ale, I will drink anything, really.
So you really don't, like, how did you come up as a beer fan in,
well,
in Michigan,
I mean,
and not like IPA or pale ale?
Dragon Mead. Dragon Mead, Kunin.
Yeah, Dragon Mead.
Both of those don't have, you know, well, mind you, Kunin has Drippa, but they still have Creme Brulee Java Stout and, you know, so many different beers that aren't your hoppy beers. So growing up drinking Kunin and Dragon Mead is really the two breweries that I frequented before the huge explosion that happened. That's how I, you know, garnished that taste. And then, of course, going to Merchants, because Merchants had a huge selection at that time. Dearborn.
We have one in Fenton, too.
Merchant's Fine Wine.
So, you know, you didn't have as many stores like Zatuna Liquor over in Rochester Hills.
Nice. Slide in.
Rochester Road, south of M59.
Are
they are sponsors. Go check out Jack. He just got a barrel-aged Lucifer's Cuvée.
Yes.
So he got that. He got a couple of the brewery bottles in today, so definitely check them out.
I saw quite a few places get stuff from the brewery with what was it, white chocolate? And,
yep, I got a bottle of white chocolate coming.
Mélange number 3.
That's the Black Tuesday anniversary.
Black Tuesday mixed with white oak sap, whatever. Which I've
there was a lot of words.
Didn't he just get a few cases of M43 and two?
I think that's all gone.
Yeah.
I was there today and it was all gone.
That stuff did not survive. Did you try to get the Electron Brown? Or whatever that is.
No. How did I miss this?
Well, I mean, pretty much it was gone from, because they did the release.
Oh, you know what? That's right. Somebody was talking to me about
the day of release.
Somebody was asking me to get them that beer, and I said, screw you. I'm going to get it for myself.
Exactly.
But yeah, like going into these breweries like Dragon Mead, you know, my favorite beers from Dragon Mead are Castle Bright, Eric the Red, and Final Absolution, and Killer Bee as well.
I love all those beers.
Castle Bright is ridiculous.
You know, they really don't have too many IPAs, if any, there. They have a lot of...
Yeah, Belgians aren't going to put IPAs.
No.
You got the Crown Jewel, but that's about as close as it gets.
Yeah, English style, if I remember.
Even their English Mild, which the name is really escaping me, and Dan would know what it is. But that English Mild's really good that they have there as
well. Kilt?
No, that's the Scottish Ale. Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously we've been talking about your guys' beer. What outside of everything that is Linchpin, what is your go-to beer?
Go ahead, Chad.
Blatz.
You go out more than I do at this point.
Founders Red's Rye is my go-to beer.
Draft only.
It's a bummer, but
now I'm trying to think. I think that was Drafting Table that said that they wish that Red's Rye would still come back into bottles because
I think it had something to do with the shelf life of it was pretty short something to do with that is what the rumor I heard about it.
Well, I mean, I have a triple IPA that's sitting right in front of me that's over 2 years old. Is that shelf life done?
Let's just find out.
It might be a little mellow.
It was kind of
sitting.
It was sitting in the basement, and I grabbed it and I said, "Oh, April 2015. Ken will drink it."
So I do find that IPAs like Hop Slam, Devil Dancer, like after a year when those hops and the bitterness falls off and it really brings out, like Hop Slam really brings out that honey to where I can drink Hop Slam normally, but Hop Slam after a year is so good in my eyes. And everybody makes fun of me.
So that makes sense.
Yeah,
because the hops dissipate fairly quickly, you know, especially sitting on a shelf.
So you'd probably rather drink a double IPA than just a regular IPA because you're getting more malt sweetness from it, or
I would just stay away from anything. Then again, I had what was the Ascension that I had last week?
It was a triple IPA.
That was a triple. What was it called? Wasn't Jade and Silent Bob?
Yeah. Jade and Silent Bob. That's right.
Yeah, so I had a triple IPA and it was all right, but like I had a bottle of fresh 3 day old Zombie Dust. Zombie Killer. No, Zombie Dust. Killer. That's Bee Nectar. Dust.
Yeah.
I had that, and I'm like, this is terrible. I don't know why I'm drinking this.
Yeah. Good thing you had two
but
cases
everybody,
of it.
I did have two cases of it.
Everybody wants it.
Yep. Oh, that's all accounted for. I posted it, and I'm giving it away for Monopoly Hamiltons. You know, bills with this many dollars on them.
Because you can't,
you can't resell beer. No, not at all.
You can't resell beer. You know, Monopoly money.
Is Monopoly money code for pay me for it? Because everyone's always uptight about only paying or charging someone exact retail and not above.
Yeah, you should never charge for above retail.
But I think if you're going,
if you're going on a special trip and you want to tack on a dollar or two for gas money, like, hey, I'm doing this for you, give me an extra dollar or two for gas, it's fine.
Sure.
But if it's like for me, like I literally drove, like I took a 2 mile detour in Munster, Indiana, off 94 to get zombie dust to get back. That's not a. That's not something. No, you should never. It, like you're talking MSRP. That's it.
Right.
Shouldn't charge more.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys saw that post on East Michigan Craft Brewery Enthusiasts board with Mike, who basically pulled a Robin Hood and went out to Perrin, came back with 28 cases of No Rules, and just charged everybody the cost of the beer. And you talk about somebody who's driving, you know, 2+ hours to go out to Comstock Park, pick up essentially $5,000 worth of beer and just bring it back and say, hey, when you guys want to come pick it up, come pick it up. I'm here at these times. I mean, that's some
Mike's
baller
the man.
Shit.
I got mine the day after.
That's right. You did. Yeah, that's right. You were on there.
And I got 2 IPAs.
And that's the thing, though, is that usually people, if you're taking time out of your day to do something like that, like I've got I got that can of Terrapin. Somewhere over there. I got a can of Mom's Jeans from people who are getting that zombie dust from me.
Is that a Tina Fey episode?
Right.
Yeah. So
I mean, he did get some thank you beers. He got a lot.
But
that's the thing, though,
is that I'm not too concerned about making money in regards to doing that kind of muling. Like I'm all for beer karma. Because
yeah.
I'm going to do something good, and this person's going to remember that. And the next time that, you know, just as any time a brown ale comes out, I know about it. Like, I don't even have to think about it. Somebody's like, did you hear about this? Probably not, but thank you for telling me.
Right.
But that's the thing, though, is that beer karma has led me to now I know exactly when a brown ale is going to come out or if it's a new brown or, you know, anything like that, I'm able to stay on top of it. Yeah. So
it's just one of the good things about the community.
I'm a terrible salesperson, Matt.
Hey, man. I just think, you know.
I'm a good statesman, right?
Statesman.
Oh, yes, yes.
Statesman and a scholar. I just figure if it's only available and not where you are, I would think that maybe it's the capitalist in me that you get a little bit extra for it. You know,
to me, it doesn't even
matter.
Well,
a dollar or two for two hours of driving is not covering gas money. That's the capitalist in me. Let's be real.
Well, I mean, you were all the way in Wisconsin, though, weren't you?
And yeah, I was in Milwaukee.
But you were being reimbursed for work and all that stuff. I think it's more the idea that, like, hey, I've got this that's not available in Michigan. You know, I'll pay you, give me retail plus a little bit extra just because it's not like you're going to get it from any of the distributors or any of the party stores.
And you're not driving down either.
Yeah, so, you know. Gives that man his monies.
You should be curious enough to throw that person some extra money for that beer.
Yeah, but I think common sense is not all that.
I'm kind of with Ken on it. I'm already there. I'm in the area. Hey, if you want it, let me know. I'll grab it. I'm on my way back home anyway. And it's like you said, everything's reimbursed.
Like, and you know what? For me, like for attempting to get, because I was trying to get Cranbic and I was trying to get strawberry rhubarb from New Glarus. Couldn't find it anywhere. But at that point, the amount of running around I was doing was going to tack on probably a dollar or two because I'm going store to store to store.
Right.
And beer stores are not as easy to come by as they are in the state of Michigan. That's for damn sure.
A lot of state.
In Wisconsin, like having to find a beer store, because I was in Kenosha and Racine, and you know you can't go more than a mile and a half without hitting a beer store around here. For there, I had to drive like 4 or 5 miles to each one. And of course, it's in like the middle of a city, so it's stoplight, 30-mile-an-hour zone. So,
is it because Miller Lite flows through all their water fountains? Is it just kind of one of those things?
To be honest, in regards to Wisconsin,
keeps the beer stores away.
In regards to Wisconsin and Wisconsin beer, they really embrace their craft beer over there. Nothing is all like Miller and
Pabst.
I guess that'd be the
other one, the crosstown rival. Did you stop and get an Old Style on your way home?
Oh, of course I did. Please, you can't go to Chicago or Chicago area. So remember how like old, not necessarily even party stores, but drug stores used to have the huge Faygo sign out front.
The one out front, the plastic lit up one.
Yeah, like a Faygo. Like, that's what all their bars were. Giant Old Style sign.
Yeah.
And I was in like BFE Northwest Illinois too. I wasn't even in Chicago at that point because I had to like go from Milwaukee all the way to Northwest Illinois and then go back through 94. I missed tolls at that point, which is fine because the toll roads suck over there. We're going to take a quick break, though. We will be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. And we are back with the Better on Draft podcast, episode 77. Our guests have not run away yet, so that means we need to drink more beer. I saw you guys tap out another crowler.
Yeah, this is a Russian Imperial.
Oh, get that over here.
Tentatively named Hackerman, but it's got to go through the channels before we.
Now, is that a reference to? That could be two references: Mr. Robot or Kung Fury.
Those two, and the no politics, but you can use your imagination. Being a Russian Imperial,
see what you did there.
See what you did.
There was a double. Oh, I missed it.
That's
I missed
triple.
It.
Damn.
Officially not getting approved.
Well done.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. So. I have check kind of a emails. Few people I have to check before I can slap a name on beers. And
you can always just change it to Fancy Grizzly.
I can always change it to that. You're right. That will always be the backup now.
Or the man with the hat. The fuzzy bear hat. Whatever they call them.
Well, I saw a meme that said something about, in America you fight for the right to bear arms. In Russia we get the whole bear. Someone call it the whole bear, maybe.
The hat is called a Yushanka.
Yushanka?
A Yushanka.
Yushanka.
Well, I just like to call them fuzzy bear hats.
I think we all like that better.
So, Rob.
Hey!
It's the news portion of the Better on Draft podcast.
Just crazy shit going on this week. What the absolute ever-loving hell.
I came back.
Yeah, Matt came back, number one. Go.
That's the news.
Yeah, that's the news.
On to segment three.
We'll be back in 10 minutes.
So, of course, the beginning of this week was the beginning of Oberon Day, which, of course, is when Bell's releases their yearly wheat beer, the good old Oberon. And, of course, ain't no party like a Keizu party till a Keizu party gets robbed. So
is that a thing, or...?
Have you ever been? Have you ever actually stayed in Kalamazoo?
I have not.
Your kidneys would stay there.
Yeah,
my only positive encounter of Kalamazoo was I saw Mitch Hedberg a month before he died.
Really?
Yeah,
that is awesome.
Yeah. Saw him with Stephen Lynch live.
What year was that?
Oh, geez, 2005.
Yeah, he died in 2005. Actually, it's jeez. 12 years ago today. He died.
Yeah, tomorrow.
No, I think it was on the 30th.
I thought he died on April Fool's Day.
No, I think he died on... Well, they might have announced on April Fool's
might
Day.
Might have been.
Yeah, but I think he died on the
news 31st. Didn't get around as fast as it does now.
Yeah, everything is instant.
Well, I was out there before I could even drink, going to Western Michigan, Go Broncos, hashtag rode a boat. And
hashtag that's Minnesota now.
I don't care.
Uh-oh.
Land of 10,000 lakes.
Anyway... So basically, obviously, with it being Oberon Day, they're having a big party out there because, it's Kalamazoo, and Kalamazoo is Bell's, and that's Bell's HQ. So, they had a very large, worth $2,000, a 12-foot-tall inflatable Oberon bottle. And somebody decided to steal it.
Yeah.
Now, is this the new
they
logo?
They got
it
on a security
logo?
Camera.
This is the new logo. And essentially, they still have no idea who it is that stole it. Kalamazoo Public Safety released a photo of the man who was caught on camera taking his bottle about 4:30 a.m. on Wednesday. Like I said, valued it at more than $2,000. And was taken in front of the Radisson Hotel in downtown Kalamazoo. Of course, unlike Tom Brady's jersey, the FBI has not been called to assist in the investigation.
They got the Mounties on this one.
KZU Mounties are on the case on this one. But I'm just like, okay, if you're stealing this thing, what are you doing with,
where are you going to put it?
Where are you going to put a bottle that, doubles as a wacky, waving, inflatable arm flailing?
I mean, it's 12 feet tall.
On the top of the Founders building.
On the top of the Founders building.
Top of Founders.
We got your shit. Disguise. What do you do with
that? Is that a Simpsons episode?
Hopefully that will catch his dude. I'm still trying to figure. I would love for him to get caught and actually tell us what his motive is and what he planned to do with this.
It's over.
Obviously, he was probably just drunk.
I'm gonna go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead and apologize for the guy. I'd like to release a statement on behalf of the unnamed drunk man. I'm sorry. I was drunk. I messed up, and now I don't know what to do. Yeah, so I'm just going to lay in hiding, and it's going to lay in my basement like the Michigan Final Four.
I mean, I guess what's crazier, this guy potentially being drunk and stealing it, or the guy who got drunk and just thought he could swim to Canada?
No, he swam from Canada.
No, I thought he was in the U.S. No. And was swimming. Was it the other way around?
Yeah, he got challenged by his friends in Canada that he couldn't swim the length of the river, the width of the river, after drinking 12 Molsons. Oh. Was the story behind that one.
Good friends.
Well, and you know, Canadian beer, that's like malt liquor.
Yeah, I mean, that's like 6% maybe.
It comes.
I don't know why you drink it.
Yeah.
Why drink Canadian beer when America's right over here?
That's what he's probably trying to do, is come get some good beer.
After the 12th Molson, he's like, I'm sick of this. I got to go get a Michigan beer.
I need something lighter. I got to switch it up.
I need something. Yeah, that's pretty much.
You need another session beer, eh? Not over wow. here. Wow.
He got to Michigan and found all barrel-aged stuff. Oh, tried to swim back.
I think the biggest charge he got, though, was like, trespassing a shipping lane or something like that.
Never mind how much it cost for the Coast Guard to actually. No, he didn't make it.
No, he got caught up before Belle Isle.
Yeah, never mind. Yeah, how much it cost for the Coast Guard to actually grab him and then take him back.
Well, they're already in the lake. The Coast Guard's just sitting around doing nothing anyway.
Waiting.
Waiting for drunk
people. Waiting for drunk people, yeah.
It's not like the Canadians. I've been waiting my whole life for this.
No, the Coast Guard's doing one of two things. Waiting for Jimmy Hoffa to appear somewhere, like just float up.
Isn't that why children grow up to be Coast Guards? With that dream?
With the dream of finding Jimmy Hoffa?
No, it's to help all the drunk kids from Port Huron get their rafts back.
That's still a great story.
Oh, goodness.
Stop jumping into the water. We will take you back to your country.
Oh, yeah. Right. They ended up swimming to Canada, basically, to get their raft, right? Yeah.
Well, no, the wind took their rafts all the way to Canada, so they That's were cool. jumping out to try to swim back to America. And, like, the Canadian Coast Guard and Sarnia police were just like, just come over here. We will take you back.
Come on.
Like, it's going to be a process, but we will take you back. Because nobody had IDs or anything, like, because they were rafting.
Oh, goodness. Meanwhile, we've got another seemingly takeover coming on at another Major League Baseball team taking their dip into the craft world. Obviously, we talked about a couple of the teams that are have been making craft beer company or breweries into, you know, their major brewery. Well, the Chicago White Sox have ended their contract with Miller Brewing, and they signed on with four different breweries. So basically, they are going to be running from, obviously, here in Michigan, they're going to have Bell's and Founders. They're also going to be adding home state brewer Goose Island.
AB.
InBev. Budweiser. And, of course, Los Angeles-based Pabst.
Pabst. So,
Pabst is Wisconsin-based.
Well, they're somewhere.
Yeah. Okay. It's coming from L.A.
Look it up.
No, it's if I had a can in front of me, I'll go. It's
Pabst is established in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yeah. They're currently based in Los Angeles.
There, thank you.
Why would you move from a perfectly good place, Milwaukee, to LA?
Maybe they just wanted to spend a weekend in LA.
Ooh.
No, I'm probably the only Toasters fan in here, so let's just keep going.
I don't even know what you just said.
It's a ska band.
I like Toasters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Not sure exactly how much a deal's worth, but pretty much a deal that they walked away from with Miller was around $8 million a year. So kind of interesting that they're going to have some Bells and Founders in a ballpark in Illinois where, you know, I guess it depends on how the popularity of Bells and Founders is out there. And obviously we've got, what, Founders is in 44 states now. Bell's, I can never remember.
30-something, probably.
30-something.
But I've always seen Kalamazoo as kind of like a suburb of Chicago. You know, I know that's kind of a silly statement, like but, you know, when you're if you're at Western or Grand Valley, you know, you don't go back to Detroit. You tend to go to Chicago. And I think, you know, all the people from the West Side who just end up in Chicago would, you know, gravitate towards those, you know, those beers to taste at home.
Right.
But, you know, it's still 4 hours away.
But for those who are going to White Sox games, I mean, they're probably going to be looking at it and say, hey, where the hell's my Miller? I mean, of course, you know, you got the season.
Obviously, Miggy's drinking it before a big three-game series.
He doesn't drink anymore. And he was a whiskey guy. He was a scotch guy.
My bad.
I mean, you got a season that is a week away,
and
48 hours away.
You got a whole bunch of people who do
we need to trade JV?
No, I trade Miggy though.
Oh.
You give me a decent offer, I'll give you Miguel. I'll pack his bags.
Damn. So here we go. So
he's on the wrong side of 30. Miggy.
The problem with this is that
I'm right.
A year ago, everybody was like, don't trade Dylan Larkin except for this guy.
And guess what? Who shit the bed this year? Dylan Larkin.
So now all of a sudden,
Peter Mrazek.
Here comes the hashtag trade Miggy.
I said trade Miggy last year at the trade deadline as well, so I'm staying on that. He's on the wrong side of 30. He's already got a bad bag from the World Baseball Classic. He's making like $32 million a year. We're like the third highest payroll in baseball. Trade Miggy. You get something. I'd rather keep JD. Even he just turned 30.
Well, I mean, $32 million a year. There's probably only two teams that are going to be able to afford that.
Yeah, but you know what kind of haul you could get?
The Dodgers.
The Red Sox. Excuse me, the Red Sox.
The Sox.
Where they
Yankees.
Need a DH because they just got rid of Ortiz with a short porch in left field and right field with a loaded farm system, or send him up to Canada to Toronto. And then you can
or the other Canadian baseball team up there.
No. What's that?
No. Hey, the Expos are coming back.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, we did get the Jets back, so.
They'd be like the Marlins. The Marlins are going to move and become the.
So I went to, it was so funny. So I went to this bar in Chicago, as I want to tell this anecdote. And you could tell they tried so hard. You know, mind you, being craft and not knowing who owns what and stuff, you know, ignorance is bliss for a lot of these bar owners. So I'm looking at this tap list, 12 tap list. Six of them are owned by major companies. Like, you have Michelob Amberbach.
Oh.
Okay.
Leinenkugel.
Yum.
Okay.
You had Goose Island. Yeah. You had, what was the other one that was big? Lagunitas. You know, all these breweries that are owned or majority owned by other companies. Florida, and you're just like,
And you know what? When I was in Florida, every bar that I went to had the same four taps.
Landshark?
No, Bud Light.
Is that still a thing?
Bud Light, Stella, Ultra, and Goose Island IPA were on every.
Really?
Every six tap system, those four are on every single one. Not even shitting you. You might get like Corona Light on the other one and a local, but I tell you what, I mean, my first night there, I travel 1,100 miles. I post this on the Facebook page and I'm staring at a Bell's Two Hearted handle right in front of me. You know, there's only two Florida beers, both were kind of garbage, and a Bell and a Two Hearted. It's like, you know, I traveled to get away from it. And it just, like, followed me.
I mean, that's the thing. Florida uses that Everglade water.
Bells and Founders, I think, is always going to follow you no matter where you go.
I think it's at ocean
just
water.
Go to, like, North Dakota or something. Might not be able to find them there.
Well, I know there's one place you won't find it.
North Center Brewing Company.
Damn. Took it.
Ooh. Wow.
Northville, Michigan.
Where?
On Center Road, just north of baseline. Just south of baseline.
South of baseline.
That's what I mean.
So close. I was talking to Kevin today, and he was just like, he almost gets it every time. Almost gets it.
I feel like I'm that dumbass, like, who, and I am that dumbass in this case, who every year tries candy corn, thinking this is going to be the year I like it. And it's like, shit, I really don't like this stuff. It's kind of like Oberon. I went and bought a 4-pack thinking, you know, maybe it'll be good this year.
I didn't
or
know
maybe
they came
I'll like
four
it this
packs.
Year. They come in 4-pack, 16-ounce cans, yeah.
Oh, I
wait,
know.
So for you, when was the last time it was good?
You know, I don't think it was ever good. I just forget that I don't like it. So I get it thinking, oh, it's time for Oberon. Oh, wait, I forgot. I don't like it. I just wasted $8.
Remind yourself why.
Because there was this huge debate going on the boards this week about the fact that it was so clear.
You know why? Because they cut it with cherry juice.
Dude, you told them the secret.
Everything is cut with cherry juice in the eyes.
No, I pissed a lot of people off on the Kunin.
Yeah, by the way, can someone pass me some of that Russian Imperial in this red Solo cup right over there? Thank you.
Since we did kind of bring up Pabst, they obviously, a couple months ago, they announced a distribution deal with New Holland, where basically they're going to be helping New Holland distribute their beer nationwide. On Wednesday, that partnership officially launched. So obviously you're going to see New Holland pretty much everywhere in in the U.S.
Everywhere Pabst is?
Everywhere Pabst is. New Holland is planning on moving their beer production. They're going to be changing from 6 days a week to now being more of a 24/7 schedule, mm-hmm. Along with their packaging now going to go from 5 days to six, possibly seven, depending on the demand, which I don't know. I guess I'm still a little wary about the demand because, you know, obviously they've – before this deal happened, they were in 34 states, and – now, obviously, that puts them in all 50. I'm still kind of wondering about the other states and where their desire to have New Holland is yet. Of course, I don't know. I need to look that up.
Does that give them international sales as well? Or
I didn't see anything about international. It basically it looked like it was just going to be the U.S. But I guess my thought is, if Pabst is helping with the distribution, wherever you can get Pabst, I would assume you should be able to get a New Holland.
Seems like it.
So they are, you know, there's that Brett Vanderkamp, the owner of New Holland, he basically said that they have an objective to build a great American brand. And
I still don't see it.
That's what I'm wondering. I don't know
what Pabst is doing in regards to how they're making money off of this.
I think they're probably just trying to get, like, craft beer in their portfolio, because if you think about, I want you to think down the supply side. Like, we have a three-tier system where all these small breweries pair with the big breweries so they can get distribution. And I think this is going to help Pabst, in theory, say, hey, when they go to suppliers, say, hey, not only you get PBR, but here's a craft beer that we have, and you know, this can be something that you can
have. But they're
have.
Throwing a lot of money at it without any type of percentage or anything like that. That just bothers me.
But you know what? There's probably behind the scenes things that we don't know about. I mean, look what they did with Small Batch Brewing Company, which is the Not Your Father's brand. They took that and they put it everywhere.
If it's not my father's, whose is it?
Someone else.
It's your mother's.
Father.
No, but yeah, I would bet,
and I'm going to go out on a limb here, not knowing anything and having absolutely no inside information, so these might be alternative facts. But I would bet you, that there is going to be some sort of profit sharing options at certain points of distribution, where if Pabst can get, you know, X amount of handles or net certain amount of additional whatever, that Pabst is going to get something from New Holland.
I would think that there could be a deal where New Holland might be paying them. You know what I mean? Or they get a fraction of that sales, kind of like what you said. To me, that would be I see Pabst making money.
Yeah.
New Holland pays them to basically mule it, like what you were talking about.
Right.
Bring them beer around, you know.
For them to go from 34 states to now 50 and essentially international and yet
maintain all
ownership. And when you had the Brewers Association's top 50 brewers come out, you see the list of craft brewers, and New Holland's not even in the top 50.
Nope.
So,
you know, Mr. Wonderful on Shark Tank, which follows us immediately on ABC, would say this sounds like a royalty deal to me, where on every bottle that New Holland is selling, 5 to 10 cents is going to go to PBR or Pabst. And you know what? If it goes the way of small town, where it went root beer and then vanilla cream soda, I mean, these people who are making these decisions know what they're doing. That's why they wear suits and drive fancy cars, and we slum on Friday nights in a podcast studio. Okay.
Fair.
Somebody knows something.
You might be slumming.
Yeah, right. Come on. This is a
I'm moving on up. Right? I go from 0 mile to 11 mile. That's 11 miles.
Don't you go like sub miles?
I'm not south of Ford Road. No, it's 0 mile is.
I thought it was Ford Road.
Campus Martius.
Oh.
See, I don't even have that far. I start at 5 mile.
Oh. I'm at 8 mile.
There you go.
Baseline.
I thought you weren't supposed to see a mile north of 10.
Baseline. Vernier Highway.
Vernier. Oh, that's because you're in the Grosse Pointe area.
It's the fancy 8 mile.
Fancy.
It's the French one.
It's the French 8 mile.
It's the Francois.
Oh, for God's sakes. Oh, by the way, I did pour the...
I was counting to 8 in my head. I'm like, what is 8 in French?
I can't get past 5 anymore. On de trois quatre cinq.
It's we...
We know that's
it's
no.
A duh twa cat sang see set wheat.
Oh. Okay, sunset wheat. There we go.
Sunset wheat.
We just drank it. Hey. We just drank it. But it was a rye.
Even sponsors. Look at that.
6, 7, 8. There you go. You just call it 6, 7, 8.
There. By the way, since I did on the break, we did pour the Perrin the No Rules.
I do have No Rules.
Did anybody drink it?
There we go.
Angela, you liked it.
Tasted like Vietnam.
Cinnamon.
Cinnamon?
I guess I was expecting
it. Tasted like the same price as last year.
Oh, right?
Go on, Angela. Fair.
Is it over the line?
No.
I don't know.
Oh, man.
God. It's because she's short.
I know.
Now, do you think No Rules will be on tap at Brown Iron Brew House in Washington Township, Michigan?
It will be on tap.
When will it be on tap?
Probably not for another month.
Oh.
But
screw them then.
So, are,
I mean, Brown Iron Brew House.
Yeah, they're aging it. It's going to be perfect.
Perrin or Brown Iron.
Neither.
So next week at Brown Iron, just south of 27 Mile, we're having our customer appreciation party. It's half off food until close. It starts at 3. And we're tapping some good beers. We're going to have Oscar Blues, BA, Death by Coconut, Bee Nectar, Apple Pie. Shram statement. There's a bunch of good stuff on tap. I might be there hanging out.
Can I get the poutine?
Yeah, like, you can.
Yeah, that's what I
You half, can get two because it's half off. So
you get a double poutine.
You're going to have to literally put me on my side and roll me out of the
Are you guys going to come hang out with me next week?
You know, when is it again?
Wednesday. I didn't even say that. It's on Wednesday.
Yeah. Wednesday so the
4th.
Oh, the fourth.
I will be in Hastings.
Oh, the 5th. You know what? It's on the 5th.
Oh.
I'll still be in Hastings.
So that's opening night eve, though, isn't it?
No, the 7th is opening
night. Yeah, 7th is opening night.
We will be here the day of opening night.
Oh, that's going to be quite an event.
Oh, man.
You're going to have to shoot me with some Red Bull mainline.
Well, that was, what was it? Was it last year? Were either of you guys here when we had the guy from the Red Wings podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's when we fought that was the Larkin night.
That was the Trey Dillon Larkin night. Was the opening night where he was hammer wasted.
Ugh.
When he showed up here. And then he was drinking PBR as if it was water.
Yeah.
Probably was water at that point.
That dude was messed up. Anyway.
So New Holland Pabst.
Yeah, we'll get off of that one. Stone Brewing came out with a limited edition brew about a week, maybe 2 weeks ago. Of course, we always seem to talk about, you know, breweries that use different and unique ingredients, you know, being anything from Lucky Charms to Oreos to Belly Button Lint.
Excuse me.
Who did that? Yeah. Hashtag thanks, Sweden.
Oh, that's it. That's probably why they got shut up by all those terrorists. Belly button in their beer.
See what they did in Sweden? I mean, Sweden.
Last night.
Last night. Well, I mean, the belly button. That's the thing. The belly button lint in Sweden is not even the worst thing. Because, I mean, we've even talked about the other beer that used a particular lactic acid that.
Oh, I heard about that.
Yeah, we'll
on the internet.
We'll leave that to the
brand. Is it non-artificial sweetener?
Sure. We'll leave that to the break. But Stone Brewing, stepping to not necessarily forbidden territory because, you know, there's been breweries that have done this before. But with their newest beer that they made, it was called Full Circle, which was a pale ale whose key component came from an advanced filtration system that recycled and purified San Diego wastewater. Of course, that had been previously used, you know, from the
boom,
likes
boom.
Of...
It's very progressive.
You know, boom, boom.
Type taps, toilets, and showers. It's...
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom.
You make boom, boom. Out of your bum, bum. And then it goes in your beer.
Time out.
Enjoy. You get a time out for that. Of course, the brew was merely a test run. You know, they only made about 5 barrels and just limited to a special event that was done in San Diego for the recycled water campaign, which people in the media decided to take it completely out of proportion and put up headlines of, you know, Stone Brewing makes beer out of toilet water, and would just leave it at that and just let people just, you know, just...
You should make beer out of toilet
water. Yeah.
Don't even filter it. Just scoop it out of the toilet.
Beer out of Brondo?
Upcoming trends?
Right. I mean...
Upcoming trend. Toilet water beer.
And, I mean, like I said, they weren't the only ones
so
because...
Earthy.
Because
why does mine have a hint of blue? Oh, you got it. Oh. Yeah, you
got it. It's the collar of pale ale.
Obviously, Ballast Point has done something like this. They did one called Padre Dam Pilsner, which followed the same process. But I know it's a pretty damn good assumption that this water is clean. It's gone through a extensive process to actually clean the water.
Actually, it went from into an advanced filtration system.
Advanced filtration system, exactly.
That's what you said.
Yeah. But I guess the question is that the idea of knowing where the water started, would that bother you in drinking this beer?
Only one place that would bother me. Thank you.
But, I mean, their water's as good as any now. I mean, there's other cities that were having pretty bad lead problems, too.
Everyone started looking.
Yeah.
You're in a coal mine kind of thing.
I don't think it matters where the water comes from. I mean, everyone laughs about, like, the Detroit River and stuff, but there's so many breweries that pull their water from the Detroit River and, what's the lake right above it?
Is that why they call it Lake St. Clair?
Well, how are they treating it, you know?
Yeah.
I think if you reverse osmosis that, then you're pretty much good.
Well, at the same rate, when you mash in, you're boiling the water, right? Obviously.
In the kettle,
you're
boiling.
You're not boiling until after the mash, actually.
So you're boiling all the water anyway, so you're getting most of its impurities out.
I mean, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's
but if you're mashed, there's, you know, you need specific pH and stuff, so if those impurities are throwing that off.
Come on, scientists. You really got to get specific with me now.
Yes.
Come on, Bill Nye.
He said just boil it.
Netflix and Bill.
No, I mean, hell, we got to go Mr. Wizard and let's do this shit.
Miss Frizzle. Let's Miss Frizzle this shizzle.
All I can think of is the before they were stars on SNL with Drake on, or Jay-Z, Drake as Jay-Z on Mr. Wizard. There we go. Got it. No, it'd be something probably to bring Tom back on from, or not Tom, Rich Weinkoff from Schoolcraft College back on to talk about that simply because that's his job is like a scientist right. In regards to understanding the biochemistry of beer as well as biochemistry.
I mean, I think it serves a point because I would imagine the point of doing this is to talk about, you know, beer needs or water needs to be, you know, fixed as a worldwide problem.
We had to go to Pure RO just in Fenton. And Fenton has pretty good drinking water. But brewing water, for one, it's super inconsistent. True. And it's not, I mean, it's not that bad. I mean
Fenton,
drink it.
Fenton's like the Oakland County of Genesee County.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, you can move to Flint and just not drink it.
But, you can bathe in water bottles.
Yeah. Luckily, we don't live there.
Well, it was funny. I was typing in Pure RO. And I'm like, I think I knew what it meant. And I'm like, good, but all it says is pure romance, pure romance. And I'm like, don't want a pure romance party up
Host
here.
Host a party.
Yeah. I mean, just want some Lula water.
Is next.
It'd be fun on the podcast.
I guess going back a couple episodes, would you rather bathe in Fenton water or would you rather bathe in BrewDog's penthouse suite where you're in a hot tub full of an IPA?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
Ken would probably choose real. The Flint water.
Yeah.
It reminds me of that movie Beer Fest where Landfill died in a beer kettle.
The
so.
Yeast that pulls you down. So, you know, we talked about the IPA beer beer hot tub, but there's actually a brewery in Austria that has like a beer swimming pool or something like that called a Starkenberger Brewing.
Starkenberger!
Probably means like butterfly. It's probably the most gentle.
It's very gentle.
Yeah. No.
But us Germans, we can't do anything politely.
So, yeah, it's like a beer spa that they have. I'm watching it on BuzzFeed, and you literally just walk into a pool, and this looks nasty.
But you know what? It's
an ancient... be all sticky getting out. Like,
oh, well, that's what I would.
And then you have to take a nice warm beer shower. You always swallow a little bit of the water anyways. So.
The shower's
gross.
Would you call the golden shower?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's probably on the beer, yeah.
It's probably a Kohl's, sure, Pilsner.
It's a yellow beer, so, I mean...
It could be Russian Imperial, then it would be a Russian shower.
Matt, that's two timeouts for you today.
I'm going to go ahead.
Nope, timeout. Timeout.
Austria was like invaded by the Russians, so I'm pretty sure they're not making Russian beers.
All right, do we got time for one more quick news hit before we take a break?
Maybe, yeah. So we'll get through another one. There was an interesting law that I ran across that was going on in Indiana. It was causing some friction with local independent convenience stores. Convenience stores in the state are able to sell warm beer or cold wine, but cannot sell – but actually the sale of cold beer for carryout has been reserved to Indiana's liquor stores. So a convenience store chain bypassed that restriction by obtaining a license typically reserved for restaurants after finding, you know, its in-store eateries offering good old burritos. almost immediately, Liquor Lobby said, no, that's some bullshit. You're not going to be allowed to do that. So they basically went to amend the law so that it would prevent them from selling cold beer. And a statement from Indiana Association of Beverage Retailers said the chain is basically choosing to thumb their nose at the legislation in courts, citing a ruling that found the state could prohibit cold beer sales in convenience stores because they face fewer regulations than a liquor store. Considering we have both, you know, I'm like, the hell with this, because, you know, everybody should be able to sell cold beer. But
we're pretty lucky, like, here.
Yeah,
we're in some ways, the three-tier system's not that sweet, but...
And as consumers, everyone has a three-tier system, but like Michigan liquor laws are so controlled, but they're not ridiculous in comparison to other states. We're going to take a quick break, though. We will be right back with the Better on Draft podcast. We are back. Better on Draft episode 77, segment 3.
Yo.
While Matt Bush is back, we are not going to be doing five questions tonight because we are going to be going over the Stout 16, the bracket challenge that we had.
Wow. And welcome back to the Fermented Four with Better on Draft.
As we get some type of cease and desist, please do not use our music on your show.
Turn it off before
that
we
means
get a letter.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
You better to ask forgiveness than ask for permission.
But it's still
you
loud.
Better be begging for that forgiveness.
You are not really good at this game.
As Jim Anderson, it's easy for me. My time means a lot.
As your turn.
So we had the final four, the Fermented Four, going up against each other. Rochester Mills versus Redline and Downey Brewing Co. versus Boffin. And again, just like weeks one and two, week three had the top two voters going up against each other.
Oh, man.
So that bracket on the right-hand side has definitely been a rough one, to say the least. So we had Boffin edging, and I'll say edging because Downey had a lot of votes. Boffin edging Downey. And Redline, the brewery who joined
Cinderella
us.
Cinderella keeps dancing!
The brewery who joined us while they were on our show because we needed an extra person because one brewery dropped out is also going into the finals. So we have Fenton versus St. Not Fenton.
Burton.
Burton. That's your guys' fault.
Right.
Burton versus St. Clair Shores.
Oh, my God. I got to give a quick shout-out because one of the guys in the Downriver Beer Drinkers United group, Gary Ingram Sr., was pushing hella hard to try and get Downey to pull off the win. And obviously, you know, Downey obviously did not pull off that win. So he kind of took to the board to basically tell them, well, they lost, bitches, so you're not going to hear from me again about this anymore. Hope you're happy, fuckers.
Did you guys tap my tall grass?
Do we tap it?
Haven't touched it.
Oh, we just did. Yeah.
I was like, can I have it back, please? Thank you. I was like, you can try some. I just was
actually
hoping you didn't drink it all. Yeah, you can. We'll give it to the poor. He's going to be here every week, folks, driving down an hour and a half to a poor beer for everyone.
It's like 45 minutes.
Anyway, so hold on. I'm telling. So we actually attempted. This was in our infancy to get someone to join us to run the board and pour beer.
And you
and we were
going to
we were going to pay them in beer.
Was Isaac not available?
Is he back on the still boat? On point.
Wow.
And needless to say, the one person that that applied and showed up lasted 2 weeks.
Kept pouring their own cup.
No, she just quit. I was like, oh, all right, whatever, I don't care.
I don't blame her for quitting.
We got pretty good at hand signals, like, hey, you, this.
That's probably why she quit.
It's like, I don't like it when everyone points at me.
I don't speak sign.
You don't need to talk to me, just tell me what to do.
So the finals is going to be Redline versus Boffin.
Ooh, Baffin?
Boy. Baffin.
Baffin.
Those are the finalists?
That's the finalists.
That's final. Awesome.
It's the last two. The last two standing.
Having never heard represented Boffin, Burton, to be perfectly honest.
It's probably because you're in Fenton.
Yeah, well, you know,
it's not like a slam on Fenton. It's just the fact that you're an hour and a half north.
I can't, you know, the first few years that I was, you know, up until basically 25 or 26, it was easy to take those long drives and check the stuff out. And
these days, it's not worth the risk. It's not worth. It's tough to get out there these days.
So, it's going to be Redline versus Baffin. But we have a second contest going on.
What? We have a second contest.
A second contest. That's right. After being in contact with a few of the brewers, we felt that some of them got a bad shake.
A bit.
You know, the number two seed going up against the number one, like, you know, in votes in the first week, in the second week. So we're like, you know what? Let's do a bad beat bracket. You know, everyone has bad beats. Like poker, Texas Hold'em, you go to MGM, you play poker, you lose with like a four of a kind or something. You make out with a lot of money because you got the bad beat pot.
Right.
So we decided we're going to do a bad beat tournament. Not tournament, just a one night, a 1 week voting period. So Brooks versus Sherwood versus Downey. Now we're going to be giving away a $50 gift card to the most voted for brewery. And to enter, all you have to do is enter by liking one.
The emoji.
Click the emoji.
Hold on. Explain the emoji because this is driving me insane.
You press the like button for less than half a second.
On a phone.
You press the like button for not even half a second, and a separate box will pop up. And you will choose the emoji that corresponds with the brewery that you like.
Note that is press and hold. Not just simply press.
No, I said hold. I said hold. Okay. Firmly hold. Put your finger.
Firmly affix your thumb upon the like button.
E.T. phone home, press, and you shall see.
Or if you're on a computer, just hover over the like button, and those emojis pop up.
Yep.
It's a very simple process.
Very simple.
4,000 people have figured this out.
I'd like to point out one thing. Baffin has educated their followers on how to vote. And I think that might
Downey has.
Mm-hmm. And I know Downey has.
Downey started, anytime somebody would try to vote in the comments or something, you would see Lynette, you would see a few other people from the Downey, not family, but like Downey Coalition. That'd be a good word. Sure. The Downey Coalition.
I think you coined something there.
There we go. That's their next beer. I'm going to make sure they brew it. The Downey Coalition.
I'm the beer namer, not you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Stick to running the board. But no,
put you in a third timeout tonight.
I think the thing that Baffin did better than anything is they're sponsoring our bracket. Not like
they're sponsoring ads for them.
They're sponsoring ads for the bracket.
Be like, hey, vote
for
us.
They're sharing the shit out of it, and when they're getting votes that are like in the comment sections or the emoji in the comment section, they're saying, no, go up and hold it and like it. Like, I know Ken's done a little tutorial for people who are a little bit hard of whatever it is.
Reading.
But I mean,
too long, didn't
you say reading or breeding?
Reading.
No,
maybe breeding.
You know, this is totally
too long. Didn't read.
This is totally the leading a horse to water, but can't make him drink conversation. Like, I get it. But, you know, I've really enjoyed it. I've really liked just seeing all these different breweries.
Watching the lead changes.
But I guess people always say, you know, why isn't Perrin or Griffinclaw on these? You know, the whole point of the whole point of this isn't to have all the Michigan breweries involved. We want to promote the craft beer industry. So the premise is anybody can say, I've been to Kunin and I've never been to Redline, so I'm sure Kunin's going to win this, so I'm going to vote for Kunin. But if you give a couple of breweries that are smaller that you can't just find their cans on the shelf, it makes somebody maybe go there or say, hey, I've been to both of these, you know, and like it. And then it also, on the other side, says, you know, if you're on the west side, if you're a typical Downey drinker, if you go there, but you find yourself on the east side, well, now you've just seen this Baffin beer company that you've never heard of because you're an hour away, and you're going to say, hey, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and next time I'm on the east side, I'm going to check out Baffin. Or I'm on the south side, or in Royal Oak, and I'm going to go all the way up to Redline. Next time I'm in Flint, I'm going to stop in Burton and try one of their beers. It's the premise is to promote the beer industry as a whole and to get these smaller breweries that don't have distribution, that have their loyal following, to, like, you know, change. I mean, it's about being a community and helping each other and growing together. And that's the point of this bracket. And I think so people are focused on what, you know, the competition and the severity of why aren't I winning and all that stuff. It's not about winning in this situation, although everyone wants to win. It's about, you know, finding out about the new breweries, because we have brewers opening up at a rapid rate that has never been seen before. It's about, you know, new discovery and finding new things and really sharing your love of beer with people. And if you're going to be a dick about it, you know, sorry, you're not for us. We don't want your vote.
You're getting real existential right now.
Sorry. I'll get off my soapbox now.
I mean, it's right though. I mean, the big dogs are the big dogs. They don't need a push.
Yeah.
Why put Perrin and Founders and Bell's in there? They don't need recognition.
But that's exactly. And you know, you have some bigger breweries. Like, we had Rochester Mills, we had Arbor, we had Ellison. And you could tell, like, they have a huge following, but they don't have a rabid following.
Right.
They don't have that crew that's going to follow you to every single, you know, almost like a, like, think of it like football. Like, you know there are fans of a team that travel to every single away game, no matter where it is.
Fire up chips, baby.
Steeler Nation.
Green Bay.
Oh,
I would put you in timeout, but you don't even have a mic on.
He's got a Michigan shirt, and you just said, go Green Bay.
Just ran.
But at the same rate, I mean, the point is, like, if we would have had, like, Griffin Claw in it, and they would have gone against Redline in the first week, people would have just chosen Griffin Claw because they've heard of it. Yeah. They've tasted it. It's probably a more commonplace in Metro Detroit.
Well, that's why we didn't use the voting system like a lot of other companies use, where you have to, like, vote on a website. You know, we wanted you to, you know, we would take less votes to make you do that little extra effort of liking the page.
Or go to the brewery.
Exactly. You had a week.
We did it all geographically, right. So all the breweries started out by each other, so you could literally... in a day, go to Downey and go to Dearborn.
Except for Red Lion and Ascension.
That's a bit of a drive.
We're supporters of Uber and Lyft.
You can blame the brewery that dropped out for that one.
Even if that costs $200.
But I mean, the point is, you know, do homework. Go to the breweries. Try their beer. You know, make a day of it, make a week of it, and say, you know, it's open for 7 days on purpose. You know, on Monday you go to Ascension, and on Wednesday you go to Arbor, and you say which one, or Elysian and Arbor, and, you know, I like the beer here, or, you know, and people are saying, well, what's, you know, why do you vote? Do you vote because of the atmosphere, or the food, or the drink? It's like, no,
you can
just
vote for whatever you want,
just
right.
Whatever you think is more important. What brewery did you enjoy more? You know,
yeah.
And
think of it like the Coney Island. You walk up to American and Lafayette. You have a choice.
Yeah.
There is no, I drove all the way out here and American's so far away from Lafayette. No, you walk up there and you have a choice.
It's American, by the way.
No, it's Lafayette. You're in timeout number three for that one. That's well deserved for that. That's insulting.
Yep.
Insulting to say that American.
It's American.
No.
I will continue to be
You have a choice, but certain choices are wrong.
And you are wrong.
You can't choose.
So, but wait, there's more.
But
there's more. So not only do we have Boffin versus Redline finals, we have the Bad Beat Bracket of Sherwood, Brooks,
consolation bracket.
And Downey. Yeah. The Bad Beat Bracket, I like it.
Yeah. The three Bs? That, no, Lonzo Ball took that, so we can't do three Bs.
He ain't even out of college yet.
That, oh, I'm sorry. LeVar.
Oh, well, he'd probably not even out of college.
LeVar would be a 17-time world champion if he was in wrestling.
I mean, he did beat Jordan. He did beat Jordan one-on-one with his 2 points.
Would he pull the Booker T and just say that 17 times?
17 times. 17.
17. 17. 17.
Okay, we're done.
Yeah.
So, but we have another competition that nobody else knows about but me.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
So we're going to be actually sending a media team to the Metal and Beer Fest in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
Oh.
And we're going to be giving away two multi-day tickets to the Beer Metal Fest. Now, the Beer Fest portion, which has unlimited pours.
Like, no tokens.
No tokens.
Holy
no
tickets.
There's only tokens. 500 tickets available each day, one and you're boy. Going both. So you're not fighting like a Brewers Guild festival for a lot of those beers. You're talking Cigar City is going to be there. I think Tallgrass is going to be there. Hoof Hearted's going to be there. I don't know. Angela's pointing at something. She wants the beer.
Wants
there
beer.
You go.
Yeah.
There you go. Nobody could understand. You're not good at the hand signals.
Where's the four at?
Was that your first foray into the hand signals?
No, she just smiled and looked.
I understand why she quit.
Yeah. I would have applied for that job.
You weren't looking at Craigslist.
Hey, I think we can get her like a little tuxedo T-shirt and like a vest.
No.
Who are you talking about?
You.
I'm not the poor girl.
Wait a minute, if she gets added in the intro, is that where we could then get the kid? And
shisha.
Or shisha. Isn't that what we wanted to do for Matt?
No, that's what you wanted to do for me.
Dan, Nick, and Ken.
And Rob.
There you go.
Now featuring.
And featuring. And
no, she's got another like month and a half before
Welcome
she gets
to the
added.
Stage,
but she's gonna leave us for a month, so she's got like 2 months before she can get into the intro.
Okay. Anyway, back to the contest.
So we're going
to
be giving away 2 Metal and Beer Fest tickets. So in regards to it, I believe Dave Mustaine's going to be there just for an appearance.
Really?
That's the Unibrow guy, right?
No, Dave Mustaine is the lead singer of Megadeth.
But he's the one that Unibrew named a beer after, right?
That is correct.
See, I'm trying to recapitulate our old episodes in here. You know,
I got hammered that episode. That's your amateur.
The Dave Mustaine episode. He was here.
No,
he
was here in the state. Yes.
This is 71 and a half.
The Megadeth tour episode.
He was in Detroit while we were recording. Yes.
So this is gonna have everybody's favorite bands, including Agoraphobic Nosebleed. Municipal Waste, obviously that's the Stone Ruin.
Is there some sort of metal band name generator that these guys are all beholden to?
I don't know.
You know the thing that's killing
Anaconda
everybody.
Factory will be there.
Pig Destroyer.
Yeah, it's
Sleep will be there. And of course, boring. Everyone's favorite, Cemetery Piss.
Maybe that's the
story. You know, I'm thinking, hey, you know what? That's hey,
the
is,
the one thing that's killing me right now is that I feel like my brother knows all of them.
Is Black Green Foam Wall going to be there?
Black Green
Tell
foam.
Me how I win.
Black Green Foam Wall.
So to win.
To make a set.
So to win, we're going to have the contest straight on our website, or actually on our Facebook page, facebook.com/betteron draft. We're going to be promoting it. There's going to be multiple ways to enter. We're going to be using a website called Gleam, and the multiple ways to enter is to follow us on Twitter, retweet, follow us on Facebook, different ways to enter, multiple ways, depending on your social media status. So if you have a Twitch account and you follow us on Twitch, that's another way to enter.
What about MySpace?
They do have the ability on MySpace for the website, but we do not have a MySpace yet.
Tinder?
We should secure a MySpace, though, just in case.
I know.
Just in case.
To be fair, Ken, you're single these days, so I think that obligation is on you. You need to start a Tinder page.
Tinder point of contact.
Because if Rob and I did start downloading Tinder onto our phones, we would get in trouble. I think that's on you.
I feel highly offended and understanding at the same time.
Like, I'm into it.
I agree with you, but
good Lord.
Ouch.
Yeah.
5 miles away.
Damn. So, yeah, so that's going to be 3 contests in the next week. So definitely check us out, facebook.com, Better on Draft.
We do have a summer contest coming up, Ken, that I haven't told you about.
How the hell? I own this damn thing.
Right?
This is my shit. So what are you talking about?
He's not a businessman. He is the business man.
I'm not a good guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm the guy.
We'll have another contest coming up in the next month or so that we'll announce. We're just finalizing the details.
We are?
We are. By finalizing.
Wait, who's we?
Me. Angela.
Angela. Do you know about this, Angela, and you haven't told me?
Maybe I should check my email.
Oh, damn.
Obviously not the Brown Iron email, because you don't check that very often.
What the hell is going on here?
So, guys, what's going on for Lynchpin and the laundry coming up in the next month or two?
Do we have a... Is anybody... Real quick, before we go that way, Baffin versus Redline.
Oh, yeah, we don't have... What's our picks?
Baffin.
Baffin's taking it home.
Yeah, I'm going to go Redline. I'm just going to just put it out there. I think Flint Town and Genesee County proper is just going to get all up in it.
Oh, you're actually voting right now? Not
saying we're not voting. We're saying who we think is going to win.
We're just who we think we're going
to
win.
You don't get to choose who wins.
That would not be fair.
No.
This isn't a professional wrestling.
I think
it's not predetermined.
From the beginning, Baffin had the presence and just pushed it from week to week to week. So... I
shout out to Michael Lally for calling that
right.
one out, by
he
the way.
He called Baffin, and I was not a believer until, you know, they got to the Fermented Four, and I said, okay, I'm with him now. So I'm with Baffin.
I'll tell you what, Downey gave him a scare.
Yeah, Downey gave him a hell of a scare. I did not even see
that. They were never within 50 votes,
but here's the thing, though, is that all of a sudden, like in day one, they
would get to like 120.
They were down 110. They got cut to 55. But, I mean, both Brooks and Sherwood's the one that really gave him a scare. They were within like 10 votes within the last, like, they only finished.
Yeah, I was talking to the bar manager over there, and he's like, it was the most stressful 4 hours hitting refresh every 10 minutes on my Facebook page, wondering who was going to win.
It's like his ass is sitting there on eBay just waiting for this.
Like literally,
is there an overbid? There's no.
Like the last week, I've been going on Facebook and tagging these breweries and saying,
yeah,
or you have 100 vote difference. You have 50 vote difference. Even like 4 o'clock today, said you have 2 hours to get 50 votes. Get out there.
Yeah, then somebody was like,
So I mean, I'm very proud of Downey from going from down 110 to closing the gap. But
just closing the gap, just the amount of votes they had, period.
Yep.
I mean, that was awesome.
Week one, still the first one, for the most amount one. It's like Baffin versus Brooks were like both over 400.
Brooks versus Sherwood in the first. Something? Brooks and Sherwood was first week. I'm bringing up the numbers right now. So Brooks versus Sherwood is 303 to 334. Baffin versus Sherwood was 455 to 441. Yeah. Baffin versus Downey was 472 to 409.
Wow, today? Jeez. Wow, that closed up a lot quicker because today I was looking, it was like 370 versus like 310. So
472.
They fought. 409. They got getting the votes. I mean, hell, in the first round, I don't even think Downey broke 150.
Downey in the first round broke 188, beating Dearborn 132.
I had to go from 188 to 409. That's pretty
giddy up, good. Giddy up 409.
I was going to say that puts Grease on the run, but we're going to go on.
So, Linchpin Laundry. What's the other the taco, the Mexican restaurant?
There's in the family of companies, there's the Laundry, Linchpin, Crust, the baking company. And El Topo.
Last
Street Food to Go, and Relief and
Crust
Resort.
Crust the Baking Company or
Crust
the Bacon
Crust
Company?
A Baking Company. Crust a Baking Company.
Okay, because I thought you said a bacon company. I'm like, so you just make bacon
just
all
bacon.
Day?
Nothing wrong with that.
That's a good idea.
I don't know what kind of bacon crust would be.
Bacon company.
I would see more like crisp, a bacon company.
Hey, well, I mean, I heard it's a Kraft Baconry. That's the new thing.
Hey, if Little Caesars can make that into a crust. So there you go.
Well, you guys are talking about opening day.
Highly interested in this right now.
Angel woke back up for the first time in 2 hours.
That's because she was a vegetarian for 10 years and had bacon.
Right?
Bacon.
No, but basically, you know, we live in Michigan, so we're waiting on the weather. Another place besides the Laundry Bar that we serve Linchpin beer, we have a beer garden. So there's the Laundry. There's a building next to it, which we call the Laundry Room. That's our banquet facility. It's where Scott actually brews the beer. Scott's brewery is about as big as the room we're sitting in.
Not big.
No. Not big. It's a one-barrel system. That's
12
why
by 8.
We're working on the coin right now. You know,
I have a little basement area.
Is there any laundering in the laundry? Where does that name come from?
The original building was actually a laundromat. Our founder, Mark Hamill, he spent time. Oh, gosh, here we go.
I know. I wasn't even going to get into it. I'm like, shit, here we go.
How much time have we got? No.
Here we go.
So,
he didn't lose an arm and a leg on this investment. He lost a hand.
Just a hand and a foot.
So the original building was a laundromat. That's where the laundry came from. We've expanded it since. Mm. We have the laundry room, which is the banquet facility, corporate offices, Linchpin Brewing. And then between the two buildings, we have an outdoor seating area that we call the beer garden. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we run 4 taps, Linchpin, really depending on availability. Scott's really upped his production lately. He added a bright tank, and that's why. So in the laundry, we have 9 taps. Usually it's 3 Linchpin taps, rotating Michigan plus our guest tap. Right now we have more Linchpin on than ever before. We have 6 taps on right now, which is awesome. He's putting out beer faster than he ever has, and it's great. It's consistent. Everything's good. So my reps aren't really happy with it because I have a stockpile of kegs that I don't sell, but you know, that's awesome problems to have.
Aluminum aging is really good for beer.
That's what I've heard. Dark, keep it dark. You know.
Yeah, keep it dark.
So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we do 5 to 9 p.m. in the beer garden. We sell Linchpin beer, cider. You can get some wine, cocktails.
You guys going to make ciders or meads?
I don't think we're licensed to do anything.
licensed.
I do understand that beer licensing, it can't be from a fruit, so we can do mead.
Yeah.
But that's a lot of honey. No, I mean.
I got a guy. Okay. I got a guy.
If Lichman separates from the laundry and becomes its own facility, then we probably would, but. I have a garage and some coolers in a basement.
You always have to be thinking.
Exactly.
Oh, so, yeah, I mean, definitely.
I mean, in 2014, you guys, your original goal was to be on three taps, and now not only are you on three taps, but you're on six. So, I mean, where do you go from here?
Nine.
12?
Nine. Well, that's the next conversation. Maybe more
taps.
You know?
Other than the taps, damn it.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, like he said, you know, we started doing this thing. We have nine taps. We're doing a 10th tap now. Scott literally is wheeling in a barrel. He's hooking it up, filling up these crawlers, which are great, you know. In a growler, you're getting 24 hours of fresh beer. In these crawlers, you're getting up to a week in your fridge. So you can come in, you can pick up 2 pints of blonde for $8, and you got beer in your fridge for a week if it makes it that long. But, you know, besides the upcoming beer garden, we're super excited. This is our 20th anniversary for the laundry being open. Like I said, we have a great relationship with Shorts Brewing Company.
Yeah, we're throwing a big Shorts party.
Yeah, they're going to come down in August, August 12th, which is a Saturday. We're going to take over the beer garden. It's going to be an all-day event. Joe Shorts coming down. They're bringing another bar. We're going to have nine taps out in the beer garden as well.
And awesome.
You guys should come check it out.
Yeah, we're actually
going to
treat it almost like a little mini beer fest. It'll be like hourly tappings.
Maybe
of
we'll
Shorts
do a
brews.
Little.
Bring the podcast
0.5?
Down. Is that what that is?
Maybe. I don't know why you're looking at me.
You're the boss.
Yeah.
Apparently not. He's making deals without me.
He's making contests and shit.
We would love a 0.5. Just saying.
I don't know what a 0.5 is, but
let's do that.
It's an episode in between episodes.
So what if we do? You guys ever see Billy on the Street?
Giant Spot?
No, Billy on the Street is Billy Eichner, and he just runs up to people and screams in a microphone and asks them a random trivia
question. Yeah,
please do that.
So what if we do that? And if you win, you get a free beer.
If it's the right question.
Who's giving the beer away?
Well, apparently we are.
We'll go.
Someone's got to buy it.
Somebody's got to pay for that.
No, we're super excited about
beer
that party.
Yeah, you know, Fenton is a pretty small town, but when it's hopping in the summer, there are people everywhere walking around. There's a lot of lakes, so in a weird way, it's weird to us because we live there, but in a weird way, it's sort of like a lake town.
It's
almost
it's interesting.
Up north town, yeah.
It's Oakland County and Genesee County.
It's Genesee County, which is way cooler than Oakland County.
Yeah, my
Oakland County is a little stiffer.
In-laws have a house out there that sits on a lake. It's a really nice place that's out there.
So. Is it Airbnb available?
Fenton's really, things are blowing up in Fenton, too.
There's going to be an Airbnb right down the road soon, so
yeah, so Crust the Bakery actually is expanding, too. Little plug. And while I don't know the whole details, I think there will be a full-service bar in the bakery as well. And maybe they don't want me to tell.
Is it going to be like a bakery and creamery or just a...
I don't know. Never mind. I didn't say anything. I don't know.
So do you have any plans for new beers that might go on tap anytime soon?
Between now and then.
Are there any new recipes that you have?
I just brewed a Saison yesterday, and I'm actually in the middle of trying to switch over to Motor City Malt out of, I believe they're in Shelby. You guys know Tom, right?
Yeah, yep.
I think he said he came up here, yeah. So now that I have everything I feel like is dialed in, I'm trying to switch over... I did the same red with his just the other day, and I did a Saison with his malts. So assuming that...
Similar tastes? We don't know.
Well, I don't know yet. So I don't know. The idea is to experiment and see if I can dive right into going exclusively him or if I need to sort of like kind of blend and slowly ease in. Will my old recipes work with his stuff?
You're not going
to
cut it with cherry juice though, right?
Well, if I do, I'll never tell you.
Right.
You're not going to change like Oberon in their formula?
No, I don't know.
Hey, they're making.
I did have an Oberon yesterday, and
where can they find Lynchpin?
Yeah,
LunchandBeyond.com is the website. Twitter, Facebook.
Yeah, there is a Lynchpin Twitter. I couldn't tell you.
We don't really use it.
We use the Twitter,
but really, LunchandBeyond.com.
So your Twitter is Lynchpin Beer.
Yeah, thank you.
The Laundry 1997.
Yep. That's that.
Because it's been since 1997.
When's the last post?
Basically, yeah.
Hey, said a 20-year anniversary.
But really, the Laundry's Facebook is the place to keep up with any updates on the Laundry Lynchpin, anything new going on in the...
Just Google the Lynchpin.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us here. Better on Draft, episode 77. Lynchpin, thank you very much for coming.
Goodbye, Paul Coffee.
Thank you for having
us. Goodbye, Paul Coffee. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think...
It's Better on Draft.
Better on Draft, man.
Or in cans, crowlers.